Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This Mother's Day, celebrate the extraordinary women in your life with a heartfelt gift from Blue Nile. Whether it's for your mom, a mother figure, or yourself as a mom, find that perfect piece to express your love and appreciation. Explore Blue Nile's exquisite pearls and mesmerizing gemstones that she's sure to love. Enjoy fast shipping options like guaranteed free shipping and returns. Make this Mother's Day unforgettable with a piece from Blue Nile. Right now, get up to 50% off at BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Hello and welcome to the Court Case Podcast with your hosts James Court and Sweet T Yates. On today's episode, we're going to be joined by the mystery host of the Quips and Dips podcast. We're going to be talking to her about toxic relationships, we're going to get her in on some courting with James, and much more. If you want to get in on the action and suggest a topic for us, please follow us on our Instagram at Court Case Podcast. But anyway, on with the show right after this. Okay, happy Friday, everybody. We're joined by Sweet Tea. And,
hello.
And the mystery host of the Quips and Dips podcast.
Hello.
How are you doing? It's nice to meet you first.
It is so nice to meet you. I'm doing good. I'm a little tired. You woke me up so early in the morning. It's not even that early. I'm being extra.
That's the thing, though. Most of our collaborations have been with people from across the seas, so we're always having to deal with the time zone thing. Where in America are you sort of? What coast are you on?
I'm on the East Coast in New Jersey.
Oh, nice.
So 5 hours behind, yeah.
Yeah. That's
oh, wow.
What's it like to live in New Jersey? Is it the only place you've ever lived in America?
I did live in West Virginia for college, which was a definite culture shock. It's very different from New Jersey. New Jersey is a weird state, though, because you can have like every kind of climate and like earthy texture. And like there's urban places, there's suburban places, there's farmland. It's like such a weird state. My friends who visited from West Virginia went into South Jersey, where there's a lot of gardens and farms and things like that. And they're like, it feels like we're in West Virginia. What is that? And I'm like, I don't know, man.
That's great. Is it true that like New Yorkers don't like people from New Jersey?
That is 1,000% true. I don't really know like why, because we're so similar. Like they're like, especially the area where I'm from. I would say that you wouldn't really tell a big difference between somebody from here and somebody from like Staten Island, where my boyfriend is from. Yeah. And like, they're not that different. And Staten Island is kind of like this forgotten borough of New York.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
It's not like the rest of the city. It's very much just a regular old town, or it's like a really big city, but like, it's pretty regular. It's just got houses. It's not like brownstones everywhere and urban life. It's very different there. But my boyfriend's family love to like point out that I'm from New Jersey. I'm like, we're the same.
That's so funny.
Oh, God. We got some good stories today that we want to get to. We want to talk about your podcast and stuff. And we got some courting with James, because obviously you like to cover some relationship stuff on your podcast. And
sure
we love to as well. It's one of our most popular things that we chat about. How long have you been familiar with like us?
Well, pretty much when I started podcasting is when I learned about everybody's podcast. So I would say I found you guys. You were one of the first ones that I found. Back in January, which was not that long ago, it was last month, but yeah. I started January, I think 4th or like January 1st, like on New Year's Day, I was sitting there like, all right, I'm doing it. So I probably found you that first week of January.
Yeah.
You're doing really well for starting January. Like you've hit like 1K followers already.
Yeah. I feel like I don't get as much like interaction though. Like I feel like so many people who follow me are like, let me promote your podcast for $20 million if you have lying around.
We get that all the time.
Every day. Or it's like, can I make you a graphic? I'm like, are you insulting my work? I don't know.
But like, so your podcast is, the way yours is a bit different than some of the other ones we listen to, is that you're a mystery host. You don't say like who you are and stuff like that. Is there like a reason for that?
I guess it's because I'm not a big fan of social media and even my personal social media, there's nothing personal on it.
Right.
I was saying the other day on another show that there are still guys like that I knew in high school that will like hit me up and be like, hey, you're really cute. You know, you're looking good these days. And I'm like, oh, you know, I appreciate it. I do have a boyfriend. They don't know that, though. Like, yeah. There's nothing on my profile that would lead you to believe that I have a boyfriend.
Yeah.
I'm just not very public with anything. So my social media is all my business because I'm a freelance artist, makeup artist. So all of my social media is just makeup. So there's nothing personal on it at all. And my Facebook account, I pretty much use it to share memes. I don't do anything on it. So I'm not a personal person, but I do have a lot of really interesting, or I think they're interesting, personal experiences. I've had a lot of life experience. And so I wanted to share that, but I did want to keep it anonymous. I didn't want to have to share it on my personals so that in the event that somebody I do know does happen to listen to it, maybe they won't know it's me. I try to change the names up a bit so that it's like weird. But that's pretty much it. I wanted to be able to share freely and openly without having to worry about people from my hometown or whatever and pressure.
Yeah,
I love that. See, it just proves that you can do what you love without having to be like public about it and showing off about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. It makes your gain in following a bit more impressive because I guess you haven't been able to rely on asking friends and family to follow and stuff. Yeah. You just built it.
I have not asked anybody in my friends and family to follow. I mean, I'll tell the secret because a lot of people ask me, they're like, how do you do it? It's not impressive. And it has everything to do with the fact that I have no life and a lot of time. So when I started working, trying to build a social media presence with my podcast, first I had to research like hashtags. What are the best hashtag buzzwords for a podcast? So I've noticed that other podcasters are my audience. I don't get a lot of non-podcasting people as my audience or people that talk to me. It's always another podcaster. So first I started to follow like as many podcasts as possible. And usually they follow you back. Most podcasters, especially small podcasts, like not verified or like not celebrities or whatever, they'll follow you back because they want you to engage with their show as well. So I've done that. But I also do this thing where like every day or every couple of days, I'll go on and I'll go to let's say I went to your profile. I'll go to whoever follows you and I'll start following like 10 or 15 of them. And a few of them will follow me. The hashtags do work though, because I do wake up almost every day with a lot of people I don't follow back following me. So it's not somebody that I followed to get their follow.
Yeah.
And then I use an app. Every couple of days, I did have to pay for it. It's not expensive, but I did use an app that basically I unfollow anybody who didn't follow me back after a couple of days.
Yeah. Got you.
So I keep the ratio tighter. People tend to be, I guess, like more judgmental if your ratio is super wide. So if I follow 10,000 people and I have 2,000 followers, it doesn't look as good as if I have about equal or even if more people follow me than I follow.
100%. Yeah, I've been doing literally the exact same as that as well. So
bang on. Yeah.
I used to do it without an app. I used to do it like going through each follower to find who doesn't follow me back. But I started to get so many and I was like,
I'm losing track.
I'm losing track. So I did pay for an app to do it for me. I mass unfollow every single, like not every day, but like every other day or so. Depends on my mood.
Yeah.
And it has helped. I've officially reached more followers than my personal account.
you said you're a freelance makeup artist. How long have you been doing that for?
So I actually started right before COVID. I opened my business to the world and then the world said, no, we're going to shut down now.
Yeah. Oh.
So really, I haven't gotten like too many clients too into it. Like I haven't had a lot of experience over the last year, unfortunately. Like, you know, it's been hurting as far as business. But I did take the time during quarantine to really focus on learning different techniques, working with different skin tones, eye color, eye shapes, face shapes, like trying to make sure that I do the best job possible when it comes to being a makeup artist, taking classes, just anything I can do. I've been reaching out to artists to like assist them so that I can like see what it's like on the job. I did book a client. I have her. I'm actually supposed to see her tomorrow, but she didn't even give me her address or a time. So I'm wondering like when this is supposed to happen, but I'm booked for her wedding next month. So,
wow. Oh gosh. Wow.
So do you have like an end game, like a career goal for the makeup artist in?
What I would like to do is I would like to be able to afford. So I'm older. I went to college. I did the thing. And I didn't really find anything fruitful out of it. So I would like to go back to like a cosmetology or makeup school, or maybe get an esthetician's license, whatever kind of is like the cheapest option. But what I would really like to do is work in like fashion and editorial makeup in the city. Mm. I love special effects. Cool. I would love to do special effects, but really the only place to do that is way out in California. And I have no plans to move so far across the country. You know, like I have a life here. So I don't want to move to California, but I would really love to do like anything on like TV, fashion, photo shoots, things in the city like that. That's what I would like to do. And I'd like to do it sustainably as a career.
Yeah, of course.
That'd be so cool. Mm.
I love
it.
That.
Would be.
it seems that everything like that is in California though, isn't it? But California's just so expensive. Like,
I mean, is it more expensive than New York? I don't even know. Like, I know it is outrageously expensive to live here, even in New Jersey, which is not New York, but because especially where I live, I'm pretty close to the city. It's probably like a half hour drive, maybe like a 40-minute train. It's close, and it shows. The closer you get to the city, the more expensive the prices are. And California, like, I don't know, I just have no desire for that like influencer culture that's out there, where they like, I don't know if you guys are on TikTok, but I always see them doing like TikToks in the middle of the street in LA, and they're like blocking traffic just for like the aesthetic, and I'm like, wow, I really fucking hate you. Am I allowed to curse on this
show?
I'm
are.
So sorry.
Yeah, yeah, don't mind. Yeah. Swear away. I fucking hate them as well.
Now.
So we're here in England. We're currently on a lockdown. We're stuck in our houses. That's why T is not with me in my little studio. What is it like in Corona wise? What is it like in New Jersey?
So actually, I was actually talking about you guys the other day to my boyfriend. I was like, did you know that in England, they take this shit super serious? Like, they're a couple and they don't even like, you guys don't, you're not even hanging out, are you? Or do you hang out?
We hang out. Like, we can go on like an hour walk, but that's like, oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, like that's wild to me. So I'm lucky because my parents work from home. We both live with our parents. I should preface with that. My parents work from home and his parents aren't really, they're not working anymore. They're retired, but they're also very home-bodied people. So we don't have to worry about like mixing between us because we're always home.
Yeah.
We're in constant quarantine. So we don't really have to worry about it. But I see a lot of other people just kind of ignoring those factors.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know I have like a mix with here, like, you see a lot of people still going out. One of my friends where I used to work, him and his girlfriend are always out eating, always out at bars. And I'm just like, it's not on full lockdown here anymore. They like really couldn't contain the United States, especially like the more, you know, like conservative states who really feel like their rights are being infringed upon by trying to protect people. Yeah. So I personally take the virus seriously. Me and my family take it seriously, but not everybody does that. And it's kind of weird here. You kind of have to walk on eggshells with who you talk to and what you say because they get like offended. And it's a very strange time. And in New Jersey, it's a very mixed bag of people.
Okay. Well, I mean, it sounds a little bit better than what we've got at the moment, to be fair. I think there's going to be a mental health crisis here in England, to be honest with you. Because we've had this for like 2 months. We've just been stuck in our own houses and possibly another month on top of that as well.
We were strict at the beginning. Yeah. Like, From like March to May, June-ish, we were really strict.
Yeah.
I mean, in New Jersey, like nothing was open. You couldn't go anywhere. You couldn't do anything. And then once everything opened up again, it felt like so crazy. And I don't get me wrong. I did indulge and I did go out. I did go to like outside bars or like there were used to, in the summertime or like late early fall. There were these, like, they would shut down this street in this town where we go to, like, all the bars. And
yeah.
You could, like, sit outside with your friends, enjoy live music. It was actually quite nice.
Yeah.
But it just got out of hand. I know that in Staten Island, they just reopened their restaurants. They were closed for a while.
Right.
Damn. I mean, over here, we did a thing in, like, October time, like Eat Out to Help Out, yeah. Where they did like 50% off at all restaurants and encouraging people to go out because obviously all these places weren't getting much money. And then we went straight back into a lockdown like after a month of doing that because the cases increased. I wonder why.
Yeah.
It's
so difficult because it's a real tightrope between like, do you risk people's lives from corona or do you risk people's livelihoods because the businesses aren't open and no one's earning money?
It's difficult. It just seems like a lot of businesses haven't thought of other ways to work around it.
Yeah.
A lot of businesses here do a lot of to-go stuff, which I think people are doing still because they were trapped in their houses for so long, cooking every single day. I think like I don't eat out. I try not to eat out because I don't want to gain like a million pounds, but like I try to support like the local businesses if I can, but it's not easy.
No. No, it's not.
But on to podcast stuff. So you are the Quips and Dips podcast. Do you want to tell us a bit about like the main idea of what your podcast is to like our listeners?
Yeah. So I didn't think I really intended it to be a comedy podcast, but I feel right. like it kind of is just because that's who I am. I'm just like very like quippy, which is where the name came from. And I just come up with these like one-liners where I say something and I think I'm funny. Some other people think I'm funny too, but no, it's not for everybody. But yeah, I talk about random topics, anything that's on my brain. I get really obsessed with random things every once in a while. And so you'll see that in my episodes. And I try to like let you know what the episode is about so that you can decide. Like my favorite episodes are probably the least watched or least listened to episodes on my show.
Yeah.
But I don't care because it is my show and I just want to talk about the things that I want to talk about. But I talk a lot about like relationships and life experiences. That's probably the main part of the show. But I try to make everything very light and funny. I'm not really into like dark or like deep existential crisis. And
yeah.
I just want you to have fun when you listen to my show. It is my safe and happy place. So that's what it is.
Yeah.
I love that. It's a good name as well. It works well.
Thanks.
Nice.
It took, so I went through probably 200 names before I landed.
Well, you picked a good one. And I listened to your latest one, the Unpopular Opinions one this morning. I really liked that one. That was a good topic. I'm surprised we haven't done one on that yet.
Yeah, it's such a good one to do. We do need to touch on that.
You sent me an unpopular opinion.
We did.
Cats, right?
Yes. Which one was it?
You said that I don't know who sent it to me. Like which one of you?
It's James's one, but I sent it. It was about he doesn't like house cats or something like that,
No.
Outdoor cats. You don't want to say outdoor cats.
I like the idea of house cats. I just don't understand why people would buy a pet that would then fuck off. I don't get it.
I don't think people buy outdoor cats, though. I think outdoor cats choose you.
Yeah.
They
just come into the garden one day and then...
Yeah. Once they're your cat, they're your cat.
Yeah. So, like, what is... You said your favourite ones are the least watched. What would you say is your favourite topic that you've talked about on the show before?
My favorite one was probably the Titanic episode, just because it's not a lie, that show. I've been obsessed with Titanic since I was a child. I don't know why. I never cared about the love story. Like, Jack and Rose can fuck off for all I care.
Yeah.
All I wanted, like, I was fascinated at the fact that this ship, like, all the information surrounding it. And then I went to Belfast and I saw, like, the... shipyard. And I was like, they don't talk about the sinking there at all.
Yeah.
They like talk about how great it was made and this shipyard and this, that. And I'm like, this is suspect. You guys aren't even talking about the like thing that happened.
Yeah. But there's like, have you heard about like the conspiracy theories regarding the Titanic and stuff like that?
Like what? I haven't.
There's one that like one of the conspiracies is that it wasn't actually the Titanic. It was a sister ship that went out.
Oh, yeah. I heard that.
But the thing is with that one is like, well, where is the Titanic then? The actual one? Where is that?
Oh, I don't know. That's very mysterious. They did like, so from what I learned is like the Britannic, which was a sister ship of the Titanic. It also sank, but I don't feel like I see anything about it. Yeah. But when they were doing research on the ship, that's when they found out that something was changed on the Britannic that was slightly different, but it was supposed to be an identical ship.
Right.
It was supposed to be exactly the same. And there was this like part of it that was slightly different that would have theoretically protected the Titanic from splitting in half.
Yeah.
So the idea is that Harlan and Wolf did know about the issue and didn't say anything to anybody. They just went and fixed it on the next ship because the Britannic was built just after the Titanic.
Right.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay. Have you heard about the Costa Concordia?
Why does that sound? Is that the one that sunk by Italy?
Yeah, that one.
Yeah. That was a few years. That was like not that long ago.
That was. It was in 2013 or 14. But a video on like the whole summary of all the events was trending on YouTube a couple days ago. And I watched it and it's so, the whole story is so fascinating because it was such a mess, like a complete mess. The whole, it was.
Well, they were supposed to go on like this is a long time ago, but like they were supposed to take a certain course and the captain was like, oh, fuck off. I'm going to get us to our destination so much earlier by going this other way. And then he didn't know that there were all these fucking shallow places or whatever happened.
Yeah.
I don't even know.
It
you
was supposed to basically it was supposed to be a ship that was like the same size as the Titanic or bigger or something like that. This huge ship. It was going from Italy, I think, like across to, I don't remember where it was going, but basically they were cutting corners in costs a lot of the time, and the captain that steered the ship was actually a security guard. Like, it was his first ship that he'd ever gone on. He'd ever piloted himself. So they did not have a qualified person doing it. And basically, he decided that there's this thing that you can do on a ship where you can sail in shallow waters just past the country that you've just port from and, like, blow your horn. And it's like a symbolic thing that you can do. And so he was like, we're going to go out of port. We're going to go into the shallow waters. We're going to toot the horn. And then we're going to go off and carry back on. And so he goes to the shallow waters, has no idea how to pilot a ship, goes in too shallow, and it crashes just like literally only a few miles from where they set off.
And, oh, my God.
And he, like, hopped off, too. He didn't even stay to help anybody. He was gone.
Really?
He didn't stay with the ship. He got in a helicopter and went off. And also, he was one of the reasons that he crashed was he was distracted because he was having an affair with one of the women that was on the ship there. They had two members in the piloting crew as well that didn't understand each other because they both spoke different languages, so they couldn't communicate. So they had to communicate between a third party during an emergency when they were trying to get this thing back on course.
Oh my God, that is a mess.
Yeah, and people ended up dying. There were people that ended up dying in this crash.
Oh my
God.
That's not good.
I think he ended up going to prison. But if you can find it on YouTube, it's like 20 minutes, but it is fantastic. The whole story.
I'll gladly watch that.
It is a glorious mess.
Oh my God.
It's so great. No, I do find stuff like that interesting as well. But
did you hear about the guy? I don't know if it was recent. I feel like we just came across it on Reddit. But there was a guy who was like in a boat that sank. And everyone, it was like a few of them. It was a small boat, like a fishing boat or a tugboat or something. And it sank. And this guy lived in there for 4 days before he was found.
Yes, I've heard about that.
He was like the only one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow, how did he survive?
There was like an air pocket. He was like in the toilet. He was like in the bathroom when the ship was sinking or whatever. And he was able to, like, you know, when you take like a bucket underwater and it has like the air up top, like you can stick your head inside of a canoe or whatever. Like when there's, I don't know how to water displacement really works. I'm not.
Yeah.
But you know what I mean? And so he like basically kept his head above water like that underwater. and they found him, and he was there for 4 days, and all his crewmates were dead, and it was just him.
Yeah.
He must have been so hungry.
Yeah, I know.
Oh, my God. Four days.
Yeah. I couldn't think of it.
I'd want a Big Mac as soon as I get back on dry land.
I would want the person rescuing me having a Big Mac in their hand ready.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I want to get on to one thing that I wanted to talk about today was toxic relationships, because I saw you've had an episode where you've talked about that. And we've not covered it on our show in depth yet. Have you had a lot of experience with toxic relationships and stuff? Do you have any?
Oh, yeah. I would say my very first, like, serious boyfriend was the most toxic in just every way. Mm. He was, like, really emotionally abusive and manipulative. And it gave me, like, a crash course in toxic relationships and just wasted,
oh my God,
like, 5 years of my youth. I always joke around because I got gray hairs when I was like 20 years old, and I would always joke around that, like, it was because of him. Like, yeah, he stressed me out so much. It was just so bad, literally from the beginning. And the only reason I stayed 5 years was because he was so good at manipulating.
Yeah. You didn't like see it was happening.
Or, like, I saw it, but I was afraid to
admit it.
He made it seem like if I like left him, that I'm so gross and disgusting that no one would ever want to be with me.
Right.
So I had to just take what I can get.
Oh, right.
And I was like, yeah, you're right. That sounds all checked out here.
Oh, bless you. That's awful.
I've been in a couple toxic relationships, but luckily they've not been too long. I've managed to sort of spot the signs. But I did have to call the police on one of my girlfriends once, which wasn't very fun.
Oh, tell the story. What happened?
Well, we were on, the first thing was, I was planning on breaking up with her that night anyway. And so...
Wait, were you? Why did you decide to go to a nightclub then?
Well, but it was a very spur of the moment thing. I was like, okay, this is very, I was basically like, look, this is very toxic. I just want this off of my mind. I want to get this done tonight. I should have waited until there wasn't alcohol involved or anything.
Yeah.
But, you know, I was young. What are you going to do?
Wait, what parts of the UK are you guys from? I want to get, like, an idea. Like, are you in, like, Geordie Shore territory? No. I don't know.
Oh, God, no.
We're in the south of the UK. So think places like Portsmouth, Brighton, Southampton, coast on the bottom. So,
oh, Southampton, isn't that where the Titanic
was? That was. And actually, small claim to fame, my dad was a builder, and he obviously, not at the time the Titanic was around, but the hotel that everyone stayed in before they boarded the Titanic, he rebuilt and remodeled it.
Very cool, very cool. Okay, continue on. I just wanted to get an idea, because I feel like in my head, London nightlife is only in Essex and it exists nowhere else except London, well, I guess. But...
This particular story was in Southampton, actually. So I can say that because that's where I went to uni at. Nightlife there is really good and really cheap. But anyway, I was going out with this girl. We'd only been going out for like a couple months, maybe 2 months or something like that. And I was like, this is a crap show from the beginning. And I need to break up with her tonight. And basically, we were at the club, I think, and I did break up with her then. And then I was basically, but I wasn't like a dick about it. I was like, you know, I'll call you like a taxi. I'll make sure that you get home safe or something like that. Because she did drive to my student house. And I was like, you can't drive, you're pissed. I was like, I'll buy you like a taxi or whatever home. She wasn't having any of it. She just kept drinking more. So then I walked her back to mine. And I was like, and two of my friends came with me. And I was like, I will order you a taxi from my house and I'll make sure you get home safe and we can sort out your car in the morning. And she was not having any of that either. She was getting a bit like pushy and chubby and stuff, which wasn't very good. So I got one of my mates that was a girl to sit with her while I tried to figure out what the next plan was. But then she ran away from my girly friend, and she went to her own car with her keys and threatened to drive home drunk. And I was like, no. And we couldn't get her out of the car, and we had to get my other male mate to take the keys off her. And then I was like, there's no, I don't know what to do now. So I ended up having to call the police and was like, she's, you know, I don't want her to drink drive. And she's like threatening to drink drive home. What should I do? So basically the policeman came and they calmed her down and they had her stay at my friend's house. And then apparently she left in the morning or something. And then I never saw her again.
Wow.
Yeah.
So. Wild. Well, I'm glad you never saw her again. Yeah. I gotta say, the sidebar, I like am not obsessed because I really don't know anything about it. But English accents, I really think are like, so I studied linguistics. I went to school to study linguistics, which is the science of language. My favorite part of the studies were the dialectology, like how dialects form in different places. You guys, to me, don't sound like you're from the same place, but are you?
Well, I'm about one village over.
I feel like you have different accents, the two of you.
Really? And
I always think about it. Like, I feel like, I don't know. Listen, I'm not an expert, okay? I do have a few friends in England. Like, I did study abroad for a bit in Spain, and there was a lot of English students there, and they were from all over. Like, there was a guy from, like, Liverpool. I couldn't even tell you. Or no, Newcastle. I didn't understand him at all. Like, we just called him Johnny Newcastle. Didn't know a word that came out of his mouth. Just agreed with it. Like, yeah, mate, whatever. Whatever you want. Whatever sounds good to you. But I knew people from Liverpool. I knew people. I have a friend from Guildford. I have, like, just all over the place. And their accents are all vastly different.
Yeah.
I think it's wild. I think it's great.
It's mad because England's so small. Yeah, every county, you got so many different accents and styles of talking. Like, there's Manchester and Liverpool aren't that far away from each other, but they sound so much different, you know?
And then, I don't know, like, please don't take this as an insult. Sweet Tea, though, I feel like you sound a lot like that girl Georgia Harrison. I know you guys have mentioned her before, but I feel like you sound a lot like her when you talk, just your voice in general.
Yeah. I mean, I've always been told I've had a little bit more of a manly voice for a girl. So, you know.
I don't think it's manly. I feel like having like a deep voice doesn't make it manly. I think.
Yeah.
Personally, like when a girl tries to make a sexy voice, what does she do? She lowers the voice.
That's so true.
So I don't consider deeper voices manly. Although I do make the same joke about myself. I feel like I have such a deep, or like, I feel like my voice sounds like an old person. I feel like I sound like an old lady or something, and I hate it. But I do, like, I feel like your accent and your voice are just really similar to her. So whenever I hear you, I always just imagine like you would look more like her. You don't look like her. You're vastly prettier. She looks like a freak. She's so plastic. I can't even look at her face.
Which one is she? Is she the one with the whole bear scenario?
Yeah, that's her.
Right. Has there been any updates with that?
Bear got out of jail.
Oh, we got out of jail.
Bear got out of jail, and she is doing like a documentary.
Oh.
Oh, there you go. Ooh,
we'll that's that. Yeah. But like Emma Stone has like a deep husky voice, doesn't she?
Yeah. Miley Cyrus has a really deep one.
Yeah.
Super deep voice. Yeah. So. No, I don't equate it with like being like not ladylike. I think that voices are really nice to listen to. A lot of the time, there was this character on The Sopranos. I don't remember her name, but she had this like really deep, like raspy voice for a woman. And my boyfriend always said like he loved her voice. It was so relaxing, so nice to listen to. So
yeah, it doesn't bother me. Like honestly, everyone's voice is different. I just think it's so fascinating.
Yeah, here's a question for an American. What are your thoughts on the royal family? Are you a fan?
I'm scared because I don't know what your thoughts are. So I feel like, I feel like the idea is kind of like the Kardashians where they're just like famous. They didn't really do anything to get there. But like, I feel like I like the queen. She seems like something about her just seems like, she seems like a no bullshit lady, but like something about her just seems really fun too.
She deserves all the praise she gets, the queen. She was really
and the
good.
Way she became queen, like when you like learn about her story and that like her brother had been like whatever exiled and like all this like stuff surrounding how she became queen and how old she was and how young she was, I should say. I think it's absolutely wild and really impressive. Yeah. But when I think of like the royal family in general, I don't know. Like, do you in It's not like in medieval times where you like worship the ground these people walk on, right? Like I don't think it's like that.
No, I mean most of us like respect the queen and everything like that. And I mean we got like for example we got there's Harry and Meghan, obviously, which get a lot of for some reason. A lot of English people don't like Harry and Meghan. I think it's because I don't know. I think it's because they don't like Meghan because she's like some Hollywood actress or something like that.
Yeah, because she was married beforehand and that's like frowned upon.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Is she also like, do you think there's also like a racial thing there?
I honestly don't. I don't think it's race at all. I think it's just snobby British people. And I think they think that she's marrying for some nefarious purpose, like to get really rich. I don't think they think she's marrying him
because she's in love. Yeah.
Yeah. But unless you're a really racist English person, I think it's race. But I think for the majority of people, their dislike for her, I don't think is racial at all.
Good. Good to know.
Yeah. But I mean, who were the other two? Kate and
Will.
Will. Everyone loves Kate and Will.
Like, yeah, they do.
I watched the wedding. I remember my mom like made me get up and watch it on TV. And I was like, why are we watching this? I mean, she seems great. Everybody liked their story because she like had a poster of him on her wall in college or whatever. Or should I say uni? I love English stuff. It's so much better. Everything in England is better. England, like, how many Americans do you have listening to this show? Because I feel like I hate America.
We have more Americans than we do British listeners.
Only by a little bit. But yeah, just out.
Awesome.
Doing it.
I take that back. Love America. Sure. But I've been to so many countries and I like them all so much better than here. And the people are like, then why don't you go there? And I'm like, you just can't do that.
The thing is, like, I feel that's the case with traveling because you see it how you want to see it. But if you were living in these countries that you think are better, you'd probably learn a lot like quickly that it's just not. Mm.
Well, I did live very briefly, only for a few months for school in Spain.
And, oh, cool.
It was really cool there, but I did know that like a lot of the youth was leaving Spain because there were literally no jobs there.
Yeah.
So I know that if I had tried to like live there sustainably for an extended period of time, it would probably be quite difficult. My uncle lives there. He loves it. Him and his wife have their kids there. Like everything's grand and dandy. My mom and my stepdad have gone to visit them and they love it. They say it's so nice and relaxed there. I think Spain is like one of the most relaxing countries I've ever been to.
Yes.
Yeah.
There is hustle and bustle in the cities, but it's just so even there it's like so chill.
Yeah,
100%.
Although the Spanish don't like the English. Most
they don't?
No, it's because of Gibraltar, I think, is the main thing.
Oh.
Because obviously Gibraltar, which is attached to Spain, is owned by English. It's an English place, but like the Spanish want it back, and I think they don't like the English.
I feel like back in the day, English colonizers were all about like taking, like, wasn't there like you guys took parts of India?
We colonized so many places. Like we went everywhere.
We just wanted the land.
Yeah.
I don't know why the Spaniards are really complaining because they came and colonized like Mexico. So I don't know what they're so mad about. I don't know.
I don't know if you, did you go to Gibraltar when you went to Spain?
I did not. I've not been to like a lot of the extremities of Spain.
It's so strange when you go to Gibraltar because you can just walk through the border from Spain to Gibraltar. And it's really weird because everything is suddenly English, but the landscape is Spanish. It's really weird. So there'll be like red English telephone boxes and there'll be pubs.
And they'll
like accept English money. And it's weird, but it's all just Spain and there's monkeys there. It's very strange. It's quite interesting to go.
That is so cool. I actually didn't know that. That's really cool.
Are there telephone boxes like everywhere in England? I really thought that was just like a gimmick in London, just for the touristy effect.
The red ones are you see in London all the time. In the UK, they used to be just sort of standard telephone boxes, but now they started to die out because of mobile phones and everything. But the red ones you still see a lot of the time in London and sometimes outside. Like I know in a town near me, Arundel, there is a red telephone box still there. But mostly they're a London gimmick,
Yeah, I mean, we had telephone booths at some point. They're not red and cute like those, so they didn't really stick around for the tourist factor. But you can every once in a while. Like, I think you can, I don't know if they still have them anywhere, but every once in a while you can find like an old phone somewhere, like on a wall in a restaurant or at a mall or something where you would use them. When I was a kid, that's when the transition was kind of happening. So I did use the phones like every once in a while. They were disgusting. but I eventually got a phone and there was definitely no longer a need.
Yeah, exactly. I don't think, I can't think of the last time I needed to use a phone box. I wanted to get on to Courting with James because I've got at least one juicy story that we can get to, and I thought we'd get all of our opinion on.
Yeah, let's do it.
Okay, so the story here is we've got a grandma of six who's 44, and she ran off with her pregnant daughter's husband.
This is so fucked up.
Wait. Like, grandma, like, was in love with her
44-year-old grandma ran off with her pregnant daughter's husband. She's ran off and they've started a relationship.
44-year-old grandma. That just sound. How old is the child?
Try and find out.
I do not want to be a grandma at 44.
When my mom was 44, I was 16.
24 is how old the daughter is.
So she had her at 20.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing he's like around the same age then.
Yeah, I believe he is around exactly the same age. And apparently she was flirting with them while they were pregnant. The husband and the grandma have now run off and left the pregnant. She's had the baby now, just her and the baby.
Oh my God.
And also the dad, her dad, they were still together. And so he's heartbroken as well because she's obviously left the dad.
That is so messed up.
Yeah. Apparently, she said, the grandma said, these things happen when asked about the scandal.
do they? Yeah. Did they just happen?
So,
I've never heard of it happening before.
Yeah, I know. The girl called Jess claimed that her partner Ryan broke up with her via text hours after she had given birth.
Ouch.
Yeah.
Nice.
Oh, my God.
Classy with text. Yeah.
Why would he want to be with his her mum? I don't get that. Well, her grandma.
I don't know, because I've there's pictures of them, and the daughter doesn't look that bad.
Wait. It's her grandma?
It's her mum.
Yeah. Oh, it's her mum.
It's her mum. She's a grandma because she had the girl had a baby.
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Okay, because that was throwing me off. I was like, her grandma.
Oh, right, yeah. Okay, makes sense.
Wild, but still, why?
Yeah.
Just why?
So she's dating her granddaughter or grandson's dad.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Apparently Ryan, the boyfriend, said, I don't care what everyone thinks. I'm in love with Georgina, the grandma, and I don't care who knows about it.
Okay. You know what? You're proud. I get it. This just is like screaming Sweet Home Alabama to
me. I don't know.
I feel like you need to cue this song up. Like, I just...
One of my favorite TikTok trends. Have you seen there's a guy that whenever he sees weird sort of stuff like this, he just cues himself playing Sweet Home Alabama on the ukulele?
I haven't seen it, but that's perfect. It's so very funny. Apropos for this moment.
It is, because
I just can't imagine, like, my boyfriend and my mother. Like, I don't know, man.
It's so weird.
Yeah, how would you deal with that situation? Like, how could you come back from that?
What?
You can't. You're at that point, you know, you're a single mom, like, you're done with that.
You're not even gonna try again, are you? I don't know. I wouldn't.
Yeah.
I would not. I probably never trust a human being again in my life, but
no. Yeah.
And apparently they moved in with Georgina, the nan, to help with the pregnancy and with childcare during like COVID. And so instead of helping her out, she's just shacked up with the husband and fucked off.
All right.
So that's bloody great. And that's crap. So now also Georgina, the grandma, did have a husband, their dad. They were still together. So now he's distraught as well because he's now lost a wife. And
yeah.
So
is there like an ulterior motive here? Is there like a reason them two have gotten together, or is it just purely selfishness? Because it can't be love, can it? I don't know. Yeah.
And also the dad, the baby that's now been born, the dad that's run off, the husband, he's not visited the baby since she was born. Apparently, the dad of two quickly visited Reuben on the day he was born, and then again the day after to pack up his belongings and then left.
Oh, the baby's name is Reuben?
Reuben is the little baby's name, yeah.
Oh, like the sandwich?
The sandwich?
What's a Reuben sandwich?
Oh, I don't know what it is. I'm going to look it up. I don't remember what kind of sandwich it is. Reuben.
I've never heard of that.
Reuben sandwich. Here it is. Hold on. It is an American... Okay, there you go. That explains it. An American grilled cheese sandwich composed of corned beef, Swiss cheese, sauerkraut, and Russian dressing. Ugh, what?
No, thank you.
Yeah, you're right.
And it's on rye bread. With a kosher, it's associated with kosher style delicatessens, but it's obviously not kosher because it combines meat and cheese.
That is very specific.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that's how we do things here in America. We don't have original ideas. So we throw like one thing from every European country into one sandwich.
So the thing that I don't get right when I come to stories like these is there are so many people in the world. If you're a mother to a daughter that you're supposed to love, could you not think, even if you're someone you're like, I want to have an affair on my husband, I'll find someone else.
Like, yeah.
I mean, we're talking toxic relationships. Yeah. Does it get more toxic than that? I don't know.
She's lost her mother and her husband in a space of a day.
Yep.
That's fucked, isn't it?
It sucks. I wonder if she... It doesn't say in the article, but I wonder if she's still staying with the dad, with the grandma's husband, her dad.
Yeah, I hope so. They need to like be there for each other now.
I feel like if this were a movie or something, the daughter and the dad would be like crime fighters from there then on. And they would like hunt down people who abandon their families. And that would be like their whole MO.
Yes.
Apparently, much of the wider family have disowned the grandma and the husband.
Well, yeah, I don't think...
To be expected.
Yeah, it's not going to achieve anything, though, is it? They're not going to turn around and be like, oh, okay, well, let's get back together with our original partners.
No, but that's what relationships are like in England. So that's a nice little snapshot.
Yeah, apparently.
Are they? Is that what I mean?
Me and James have done that all the time.
Yeah.
You guys just run off, fuck off with each other's parents or whatever. That's fine. That's fine.
Going off of toxic relationships, how long have you been with your current boyfriend?
We have been together for a little over 3 years, like 3.5.
Oh, you're beating us.
Yeah.
But how long have you guys been together?
Almost, it will be 2 years in July, won't it?
Yeah.
That's so nice. Yeah. I was actually talking about this yesterday because there was a point where I thought I was a sex addict in my, like, I thought I had a problem.
Right.
And because I was always like wanting it, but getting bored with my long-term partners.
Okay.
And I thought that was like a problem. So I thought it was me. Like, I thought it was just like, I'm addicted. Like whatever. So with my ex-boyfriend, my ex and I broke up like 2 months before I met my current boyfriend.
Yeah.
It wasn't planned, obviously. Like, I didn't know I was going to meet him 2 months later. But with him, it was like really intense at the beginning with my ex, and it was like crazy. And then literally, I would say within 2 months, I was bored. The sex was blah. It was, and then eventually we stopped having it all together.
Right.
But I guess because I had never really been in like a good relationship, I thought that was normal. Like, I thought you get bored after the first couple of months and then you just live with each other. And then you like make jokes about how much you hate your significant other for the rest of your life. Like, I thought that's just how it was done. And anybody who's happy on social media is lying. Like, I just thought that for so long.
I mean, they do try and portray it that way in most movies, to be fair.
Yeah.
Yeah, I really thought that was it. Like, you're bored after that and you don't get to live your happily ever after. Like, such a thing doesn't exist. Until I met my current boyfriend, and we never got bored of each other. Like, we are best friends. We laugh every single day. Is it perfect? Like, every single moment? No. Like, we fight a little bit, whatever. But he, at the end of the day, he is my best friend in the world, and I have not stopped having fun, and we still have amazing sex 3 years later. So I didn't know it was humanly possible.
Yeah.
So I thought there was something was wrong with me. I took a test to find out if I was in fact a sex. I'm not.
Okay.
But I took a test. I was like, maybe it's like, maybe I have a problem. I don't know. But from what I've learned, is people with sex addictions really like cannot be even faithful to their partners, not because they don't want to be, but because like they can't, they're, if they're not with them, they want to be doing it with something, somebody, like anybody. They'll pay for it if they have to.
Yeah.
And that goes for men and women. So like, I'm not that desperate. I've never wanted it that bad.
That's super honest though. But yeah, I mean, damn,
that's good. Yeah. That sounds nice.
That's
and
really
strong.
Good. No, that is really good. That it's now worked out well.
Mm.
Yeah. Better results for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just watch out for your grandma.
Oh, my grandma's a dime piece too. I better watch out.
Christ. Well, we're coming towards the end of the podcast now, so we just want to make sure everyone checks out your show, which is Quips and Dips. What platforms is it on? I listen to it on Spotify.
Yeah.
I don't even know all the platforms that it's on because Anchor is really bad at telling you. I didn't even know I was on Apple Podcasts till I went to Anchor to check my analytics, and it's like, oh, you get most of your listens from Apple Podcasts.
Wow.
So I was like, oh, interesting, because Anchor never told me that, and it's not even listed in my Anchor, like in my RSS feed or whatever. Like, it's not listed anywhere for me to share the link. I had to go get it from Apple Podcasts myself. But anyway, it is on Apple Podcasts, it is on Spotify, it's on Google Podcasts, it's on most of the like major platforms, I would say.
Nice.
Yeah.
So wherever you want to listen.
Perfect. And what days or how often do you release episodes?
I release every week on Fridays. I'm going to starting to put out a few like smaller bonus episodes for fun because I've been having some fun ideas that I can't stretch out. My episodes are short though, since I am a lone host. So they're only half an hour. So it's a nice, quick like drive to work kind of a thing.
Yeah.
And if I have a guest, typically it goes a full hour. But yeah, every single Friday you'll find my show.
Perfect. Okay. Well, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Thank you so much.
And I hope you had a good time.
I did.
Good. That's
great. That's great. Yeah, it was so fun.
And
I learned a lot about New Jersey.
Yeah.
It's a magical place.
Well, if everyone wants to check out the Quips and Dips podcast on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, thank you so much again for coming on, the mystery host. And we will see everybody again next week.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.